sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. Okay. Hey, Patricia.
Hey, Judy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to start this four-parter. Seems like it's going to be a mountain, but we're going to get through it together.
I think it's exciting. When I think about people in relationships and who have shifted their relationships, I think having, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there about our relationships, but I don't know if there's so much about how do we come to a place and move on, you know, in a good way. So I think there's a lot of things to think about and just process through. So yes, this is the four-parter, the beginning of the four-parter. Should we walk through what the four parts are and then we'll dive into this first one?
Well, I guess this series is about trying to identify if the well has dried up, right? When you know that your relationship is there's something wrong, and kind of identifying if it's too late or too far gone. And then from there, leaning into your intuition and trusting yourself and knowing what to do, like how to proceed from there and what to do after if a relationship were to dissolve. Mm-hmm. So it's the four parts are about kind of knowing when to call it quits so that you're not staying in a place of unfulfillment or dissatisfaction or holding a space, you know, just being a placeholder. That's not a very connected or sexually authentic place to be in a relationship. So then kind of giving some tools as far as what to do from there if you need to make some moves, whether that's communication to try and set some new guidelines, some boundaries or expectations, or communication to make moves in a different direction. It's a lot of stuff to unravel, so that's why it'll be a four-parter. So.
Right? Okay. So yeah, so the first part is knowing where you are in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. that's what we're tackling here.
Yep. First of all, you know, with sexual authenticity, oftentimes I talk about how this is your journey. This isn't really about your partner. You and your partner together make a separate path as a pair, but you have to honor yourself first. You know, in order to be understanding of where you are in a relationship, you really have to get down to the nitty-gritty of your personal truth. You need to understand who you are, what you want, what you need, and what you're willing to do about your situation. Loaded with choice. Loaded with choices. And only you can make those choices if you're going to be authentic to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And knowing yourself allows you to decide where you want to give and take in those choices.
Absolutely. Because if you're always doing for the other, and you are always put on the back burner, this is where there's the five stages of grief that we're always in some phase of that in some area of our life. There's the seasons, you know, like right now I absolutely hate fall and I can't stand winter, but I'm going through the phases of grief or loss as I am reminiscing about what a great summer it was, and I'm in denial that it's really going to get super cold here by next Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I get mad because, you know, why do I live somewhere where it's so cold and so much snow? And then I'm bargaining with, oh, well, if I put out my fall decorations, it won't feel so bad. And then I get into a depression because I'm like, oh my God, after fall comes winter. I know it's coming. And then I finally accept it and realize, well, winter's only a couple months, 9 months long here in Minnesota. I'll live. Oh, you know, I'll get to spring. So
it will happen eventually.
So in these in the phases or the phases of loss and grief, there's distinct energy that is attached to those as well. And I've talked about the energy levels in some prior podcasts. I don't know that I've been really kind of clear about it. It's something that I really coach around very much so. My clients all know the seven levels of energy very well and how to apply that to their life or identify it in their life. So I'd like to go through the first couple.
Okay.
The couple, level one, level two, and level three specifically, because these are low level energy places that are considered catabolic. Think catastrophe. That cat prefix is a root for things that are negative or destructive. So level one energy is the place of victimhood. It's a place of lack where you're constantly feeling like you don't have, you'll never have. I don't deserve, I'm a victim. There's a lot of stuck feelings and confusion, a lot of self-doubt and feeling like everything is out of your control. A lot of fear around rejection at level one. Now, level two is your fight. Okay, level two, there's a little bit of anger that's in there. And that's a good thing because as we go up in numbers, level one, two, three, with each level, there's less and less catabolic energy and a little bit more anabolic energy, which is the good energy, the higher vibe energy is introduced. So it certainly isn't the tipping point, but it's steps, like steps on a ladder. Okay, so we go up and down this ladder of energy multiple times a day, sometimes hundreds of times a day. And so it just keep in mind that it's not a fixed place for the most part. However, whole segments of your life can be kind of under an umbrella of level one or level two. If you're really considered quite an angry person, you may be looked at as your average resonating level is a level two. You're an angry kind of soul. If you're a victim all the time, you may be a level one kind of person. We talk about those kind of traits or characteristics in people, and that's really what it's kind of leaning towards is the energy, what energy is behind it. So when we're talking about fight, level two, that is pushing, driving, you're at the sacrifice of others in life. Like you're going to win. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, feels, whatever. You are, it's all about you. And you're going to push over whoever you need to push over. Lots of buttons and triggers. We see this a lot on social media. You can see a lot of victim mentality on social media. People who like kind of vomit up their stuff that they're going through and they're just like, oh, what's the point? You know, what do you do when you have no resources? I'm homeless. I have nothing and I can't do anything about it, you know, without knowing the backstory, obviously. But some people do that on Facebook and that is very level one. And then you have the people who are angry, and I can just use politics as an example. People who are really fired up about politics oftentimes get stuck in this level two energy. Under this administration anyway, you can really sense the anger and frustration and push. It's force against flow. You know, like they're not in the flow of energy. They're in a forcing energy. So that's your level two. And then level three energy is coping and settling. Where you rationalize, you make excuses for others, you explain away your disappointments in an effort to take the pain away. Often it's a comfort place where you learn to accept what's going on around you, yet it does not make you happy. It does not fulfill you. And the fear base here is a fear of change. People don't want to move because they don't want to, they're not feeling stuck like a victim anymore. They're accepting their circumstances. And this happens a lot in like narcissistic relationships and stuff. This level three coping, settling. It's where I was for a long time in my ex, in my first marriage, where I just managed everything I was still hurting so bad inside, but I managed everything because this is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And things can't get better and things will never change. So I might as well accept it, you know, that kind of a thing. So when we go back and look at the five stages of grief or loss, when you think of denial, that's your first phase of that. That's very much a level three energy. It's not hitting home. It's not reality. You're coping and settling. It's kind of almost disconnected from your reality, what's really truly happening in front of you. The next phase is anger, which I already said anger is level two. Then we go to bargaining, and bargaining pops us back up to level three. We're trying to work through it. We're trying to figure out what's happening. Well, if I do this, then I'll get that. So it's this back and forth ping-pongy kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. Then depression happens, and that's level one. Mm. And then acceptance is the shift. That's the shift of energy where you are then, you've gone through these levels and your acceptance puts you back in your average resonating level. So if you're normally a level three person, you'd go back to being a level three person. If you're normally a level two person, you'd go back to a level two. So there are seven levels of energy. If people are interested more in knowing what all seven levels of energy are and how that looks in their personal life, they can contact me through email or through the podcast website or through my coaching site, which is www.thepowerexchange.co. I'd be happy to have a further conversation. For the sake of the podcast, I don't want to go into the higher levels of energy just yet, because that's not where you would be if you're looking at a low level energy relationship and how to know it's too late. Mm-hmm. So it would kind of defeat the purpose to jump into those higher levels of energy right now. But I just wanted to bring up that because you can see that there's actually like, it's a lot of bouncing and cycling. You're constantly in this state of flux where you're in this one of these three energy levels. If this is where you're hanging all of the time in your relationship, it's time to look at your relationship. And that doesn't mean it has to be over, mm-hmm. but it means that there needs to be action, communication, or a shift somewhere. Right. So really important. So I was asked the question, how do you know it's too late? And I've thought about this a lot. For me, if I were to use my own personal experience, I'd say I knew it was too late when resentment had set in, when I had become so bitter that it didn't matter anymore. Nothing really mattered. I knew that there wasn't really, that he didn't love me. I didn't love him. It disintegrated the marriage. As soon as I lost respect and resentment and bitterness had kind of set in. Mm-hmm. And I think another part of that is because there was no behavior to back up that he loved me. The behavior didn't match the word. Mm-hmm. There was no integrity in the word love. Are you kind of resonate with me?
Yeah,
there?
There's the habits of a relationship and what that's supposed to look like, right? Like,
right, the shoulds.
Of course, I love you. Some can argue when I think of reading the book about love languages and people feeling like, well, of course I love you. Don't you see these things I'm doing for you? Or I'm giving you gifts. And they're like, well, wait, gifts doesn't work for me or whatever. There's communication you can have around some of those things. But there are times when it's like, yeah, the words are being said that the box is being checked with a word.
And there's, I think another part of that is perhaps that there's no ability left to forgive. Like there's no moving beyond things. If you're stuck in a place where you can't truly forgive, and to forgive does not necessarily mean you forget, but you move on. You don't dwell on it. It doesn't come up every time there's an argument. It's not, eating at your insecurities inside as a constant irritant, a constant festering wound.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because So there's a lot of theories about forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're married to somebody or you're in a partnership with them, the forgiveness, and so I think about this on multiple levels, my own experiences, but I also think about this on conversations I've had with guys in my men's group, mm-hmm. where the idea comes around, I did this to her, but she just needs to forgive and forget so we can move on. And that doesn't equal the processing through. That doesn't equal, like to me, that's where the breakdown comes in those pieces. Mm-hmm. You maybe want to forgive the person, but really you need to process through it with them. Just forgive me and move on. It doesn't, that still festers.
Yeah. It doesn't get you out of the box.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's use an example that a lot of people can relate to, a spouse perhaps cheating. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll use that as an example. This is not so much in the relationship. It's about mistrust, mm-hmm. but in the forgiveness, it's about the woman's insecurity. In the forgiveness. So I'm going to say the man cheated on the woman.
Okay.
For the sake of this conversation, it's not so much that she can't forgive that he went, that the act happened. Mm-hmm. It's her insecurity that it's going to happen again, that he has feelings for her, that given any circumstance, that's right, or anytime she pisses him off or whatever else, that he might go back to it. Mm-hmm. So he can say he's sorry till he's blue in the face and try and tell her, you just need to move on. But she has insecurities that may not even be directly from this incident, mm-hmm. that are holding her back. She has insecurities, deep insecurities in her authentic being, in her authentic self, feeling like she's not worthy, she's not good enough, what's her value in this relationship? She doesn't accept her needs and desires as valid. So these are their personal issues that she has to go through. And if she can't make peace with those things and realize that she has value and that she is enough, and if he steps out on her again, she needs to be strong enough to walk away. But living in a constant state of battle and frustration and distrust and mistrust and just the absolute toxic unforgiveness, mm-hmm. will continue to destroy a relationship to a point where they will coexist but never be connected.
Right. And she has work to do, but he also
He has to, of course, accept what he did. He has to make the motions, providing
her those securities. You know,
absolutely.
She need to feel secure, mm-hmm. Instead of just you need to wipe it, forget it, I won't do it again. You know, how many haven't believed that and then found out, that wasn't true. So there has to be onus on his part to move forward and accept that, you screwed up and therefore things might shift a little bit for you.
And your relationship may have just changed forever.
Right, exactly. And that doesn't mean people can't get through it.
Right, right. And also, we're talking about people who probably may have already tried couples counseling. That's great. Couples counseling brings the issues to the table. It brings what the hot topics are to the forefront, that they can't be hidden or kept under wraps anymore. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it still comes down to each person intending to put 100% of themselves into the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not one person's problem or the other person's problem. It seriously is the couple dynamic. There needs to be renegotiation. There needs to be total transparency. There needs to be a rebuilding of respect and trust.
Right.
And trust doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Right? So, yes. So again, it's really, really interesting. And oftentimes it takes sometimes like a situation like somebody cheating on you. It takes that kind of hurt to bring up some of these really, really deep feelings that you have to look at on an individual basis and say, now, why? Why am I feeling so, so fearful mm-hmm. around this. What is this, and what can I do about it? Because that's going to set, if this relationship then doesn't work with the cheating or whatever, she could go into another situation where she's just attracting another cheater. Mm-hmm. Because it happens that way. I see it so often where the patterns and the behaviors are just perpetuated because people don't make changes in themselves and they don't change what they expect out of a partner after they've been hurt. Mm-hmm. They fall into the same patterns over and over again until they do the self-work and they realize what the real issues are authentically and they own their power. That's when people can't pull the wool over your eyes anymore. That's when you understand that your choices are your path, you know? Mm-hmm. So to bring this around, how do you know when the right choice is that this relationship is done? How do you know? What would you think?
I think what you're saying makes sense. When you can't forgive, when the respect is gone. And I don't even know if I feel like that's an impossible thing to come back from. But I think, again, that's where it also takes the other person's part. Is the other person coming to the table? If you're coming to the table wanting to figure it out, is the other person coming to the table wanting you also to figure it out, wanting you both to figure it out?
Don't forget, respect is a choice too. You choose to respect your partner.
Oh, right. True.
And trust is earned, but respect is a choice.
Right. And if you're feeling yourself not being able to have that, mm-hmm. then that questioning of, okay, what's going on here? There are some common themes where those, you know, when there's contempt and you're just not communicating at all anymore.
Yeah. I'll tell you one of the real keys that my ex-husband should have picked up on is whenever Gloria Gaynor came on the radio and I was singing at the top of my lungs that I will survive, you can pretty much know. I mean, yeah, I love the song. It's great and it's catchy and all that stuff. But when I'm singing it and I'm belting it out and I'm playing it on repeat over and over again, I think there's something to be concerned about. I'd be paying attention to those kind of things. For me, I mean, I was singing with intention, you know, there was. So on the flip side, let's look at some of the ways that we know that love is still in play. All right. So maybe this is a better way to do it, is to be looking at some of the ways that love shows itself in a mm-hmm. relationship. Now I have a list of like 11 things. It doesn't mean that you have to have all 11 things. I'd say probably if you had five or more, you have workability. If you're under five of these, you probably need some counseling, individual counseling or couples counseling, something, or coaching, however you want to look at it. But the root of this, and we hear it all the time, love is a verb. It requires action and communication. So, are you ready for my list?
Yeah.
Okay. One, this is a repeat, mutual respect. And by mutual respect, that means respecting each other for who each other is, even in the relationship. If one person is a housewife or house parent, and the other person is the person who is the A-type personality going out and making the money and, you know, sales all day or whatever, respecting each other's roles as well as respecting each other as people. Mm-hmm. Okay. The second one is enjoying each other's company. Mm. That's an action. Sometimes we have to work at enjoying each other. Sometimes it's an intention where we wake up in the morning and we choose to say, I'm grateful that I woke up next to you today, and setting your framework around gratefulness. The third one is being able to communicate and have conversation. How many marriages or relationships get into the stagnancy of not talking to each other unless it's necessary?
Yeah.
Where you are basically roommates and you only discuss things that are...
Keep the household and the kids going. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So that's another one. And that's that communication one.
We're date night
Right.
If you're not doing a date night, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading a book and this woman was talking about her and her husband's relationship. It's like, you know, it wasn't about relationships at all, but it just was an eye-opening statement to me. She was like, my husband and I, we needed to talk about this thing. And she said, you know, 3 weeks went by and we realized all we had talked about with each other was the kids and who was picking up who and what. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot even imagine. I understand how it can happen. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine being in that, how sad that is. And, you know, happily they were a good and healthy and happy couple that were able to come together. That wasn't hurting them. I mean, it probably was on some level, but it wasn't destructive to their relationship. It was this realization, but it was just like, oh my gosh, wow. You know,
well, let's think about when I talk about sexual authenticity, conversation and our minds, that's our biggest sex organ. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to develop intimacy. It's a great place to be nurturing foreplay. It's a great way to make each other feel safe through conversation. Mm-hmm. Super duper important one. And if you don't have something to talk about, you know, go off of Facebook for a while. Put your frickin' phone down. Take a break from Facebook for 28 days and start talking to your spouse instead of looking at your phone. Mm-hmm. Start reading the newspaper and talking about stuff or get involved in your community. You know, start finding things to talk about because talk about the good old days. Talk about what you want to do with your future. Talk about a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan. You know, just that connection alone is so important.
Right. Or what music you're listening to and why.
Right, right.
You know.
Or what podcast are you listening to? What book are you reading? You know, there's all kinds of things to talk about. And I think we lose so much of that conversation mm-hmm. through social media
yep.
because we have an outlet to voice our opinions or to hear other people's opinions instead of respecting the time we have with our mate or partner. And using that to nurture our relationship.
And next week, we will dive into the rest of the 11 things that we can look for in a relationship that let us know things are on the right track or that there's hope for getting them back on the right track. So this is a 4-part series. However, we're splitting those 4 parts up into smaller bits and pieces. That wasn't the original intent. However, on the production side of things, just due to some scheduling things going on in my world, I needed to chunk it out a little bit further. So I don't love doing that, but you guys can give some feedback. Do you like the shorter episodes? Do you like the longer episodes? It is always great to hear from you guys. And please remember to send in your questions and your thoughts and your topic ideas. We absolutely love that. So please, please, please do that. And you can do that at sexmatterspodcast.com. You can certainly also do it on the Sex Matters Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Send in your question. If you do it on the website, on the sexmatterspodcast.com website, you can do that anonymously. You can also send in a message through our Facebook page and just let us know you don't want us to use your name. And that's totally great. On the website, you can leave it completely anonymous or have a little fun and give yourself a whole new identity. How exciting is that? Get on the email list while you're there. You are going to get the PDF of Daily Positive Sex Affirmations from Patricia. And of course, while you're there, consider joining our Patreon community. We welcome and sincerely appreciate your support. If you would like to connect with Patricia and see the videos that she's doing, learn more about working with her, you could do that at her website at thepowerexchange.co. That's thepowerexchange.co. If you're a Facebook person, check Patricia out on Facebook. She posts quite a bit, everything from videos to questions and discussions. On her website, she also does have a course online, and I believe it is still free for the moment. So definitely check her website out and check out her course. Her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering, and you can find that right on the website, link right into Amazon. You can connect with me, Judy, through my weekly health and wellness podcast, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. You can find it on iTunes or at wellnessrenpodcast.com, of course, on Facebook as well.
Thank you so very much for listening. Have an absolutely fantastic week. Join us again next week when we continue the discussion on knowing where you are in the relationship. Have a good one. Take care.